The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Make the most of your life. When you remove the blocks that are holding you back, you can bring inspiration, passion, and purpose to yourself and those around you. This is the Hoffman Connection with your hosts, Raz Ingrassi and Ed McClune. Our hosts and their guests will give you the tools that you need to improve yourself by bringing you closer to what really matters. Now, here's your host.
Happy New Year. This is Raz Ingrassi at the Hoffman Connection. And we're coming to you from beautiful Northern California, where, in fact, it is a beautiful day. And I'm the I'm an executive with the Hoffman Institute. I've been a teacher and participant with Hoffman for, well over 20 years. And if you've never heard of the Hoffman Institute, we're celebrating 40 years as a leading personal development program and company throughout the world. We have about a dozen centers in 11 countries. We've had over 85,000 people come through our program and have been studied extensively with university research and so forth. It really works. It's a great program. And you can find us, of course, on HoffmanInstitute.org, HoffmanInstitute.org to know more about us. So our signature program is an amazing eight-day retreat, and lots of people have done it. It's a fantastic, exciting program, and we urge you to look into it. But today I am joined by James Flaherty, who is not only a brilliant coach, but he's the founder of a new style of coaching. He created a company called New Ventures West, and he has a coaching training school here in San Francisco, although he works around North America, South Africa, Asia, Europe. But he's developed a unique approach to coaching by integrating various discoveries in linguistics, developmental psychology, 20th century philosophy, spirituality, meditation, biology. And he has created this method that he calls integral coaching. And we're going to talk to him about it today. He's also the author of Coaching, Evoking Excellence in Others. And this book is used in colleges and universities around the world. In fact, James is giving away copies of his book today to the first three callers. So if you have a question for James, please call in, and he'll be glad to respond to you. James, are you there?
I'm here, Raz. Yes, thanks. And thanks for having me. Is Ed here, too?
James.
Hi.
Hello, James.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're there. Good.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I've been here the whole time, yeah.
Oh, okay. Couldn't hear you. Well, welcome to the show, James.
I'm happy to be here, Raz. Thank you.
Great. And tell us just a little bit about integral coaching. What is the approach or the point of integral coaching? What are you trying to create in people and for people?
Right. So the idea of integral coaching is to have a full of view a full as full an understanding of human beings as we can. So that's sort of an integral understanding. So a full view would mean, among other things, what's happening with somebody's individual experience, their interior life, their thoughts and their beliefs and their worries and their emotions, but also would include their behavior, their actions, what they do with their body, something that could be seen. And of course, Everybody's embedded in a cultural system of some sort, be it their national culture or their familial culture or their company culture. So there's that big societal or linguistic piece that's always what we're in the middle of. And then the other part is we are in a physical surround. As you said, it's a beautiful day here in Northern California, and that has an effect on us. We're using technology, a thing in the world that also has an effect on us. So there's all those four different dimensions, inside, outside the person, and inside and outside of the culture, that we include in integral coaching as a way of understanding a person, because our view is that any individual person has a life in all four of those places. So understanding them that way, which is wonderful first step. But then,
so James, tell me the four places. That's inside. Tell me the four places.
Yeah, I could do it again. So it's inside, you know, inside the person, which means my thoughts, my feelings, my views, my individual private experiences. So that's one place. The other place is my body and my behavior.
Okay.
And one of the big distinctions there, Raz, is, of course, in the first one, it's private. You can kind of make up or project onto me what you think I'm feeling or thinking, but you really don't know until I say it.
Right.
And then, but my body and what I do is public. So you can watch what I do, and doctors and other people could do all kinds of tests on my body, and you could, people keep track of things their body does, like how many times did I exercise and how much sleep did I get and what did I eat and all that.
Right.
Very public, very observable. The third place is the social world that we're in, which is made up of the relationships we have with people, but also our cultural surround. So if you and I, as I know you for a long time, we're Americans raised in this culture, and, but we both know people, say, who are raised in India or China or Japan or Brazil, and they have a very different view of life, given that they were raised there with those cultural practices and language. So that's the third one.
Right.
And the fourth one is the environment, both the human-made environment of buildings and technology and cars and tools, and the natural environment of trees and mountains and sky. So
okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I remember you once saying something like that your idea with integral coaching is to take a big enough approach to the world and to a person's life that everything fits into it.
Right, that's the idea. So,
and I really liked what you said. Maybe you could sort of elaborate a little bit about how so much of life is about narrowing, so things are small enough for us to deal with them rather than including.
That's right, right.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I can, I'm happy to talk about that. And certainly it's relevant in the Hoffman world because, I did the process myself in a long time ago, Raz, when you first told me about it, something like 1991, something like that. For those people who are listening who are graduates of the Hoffman process, they all know that, we come in with an issue like, I have impatience with my children. And then we find out that, whoa, it's a much bigger, deal than that, that it has historic roots in my family with my parents, but even beyond my parents. And it has a way that it lives in my body, and it has a way that it lives in the story I have about myself and what it is to be a good parent and what it is to be a good child and on and on and on. And, part of the difficulty with most disciplines or most ways of working with people is, as you said, that they're reductive. They reduce it to one part. The funniest example I have for that is going to a doctor and having a sore elbow, and the doctor interacts with me that as if I am only an elbow. I don't have the rest of my body. I don't have a car that I drive that's actually giving me the sore elbow because of how I'm steering. I don't have a way that I'm sleeping that's causing trouble. It's a narrow, our world has gotten so specialized that we divide the world into smaller and smaller pieces, which means we hardly see the real map of cause and effect. We don't see the origins of things. We don't see the long-term consequences of things because we've specialized too much. So the idea
of, when you take this integrated approach, this holistic approach, inside, private, public, social, cultural, environmental, and you're including all of that.
Right.
Why is that better than, why is that not really confusing to people?
Well, that's what most people would say. They'd say, well, that's too big. Let me just ignore that part. The trouble is, as you know, Raz, from your years of working with people, is the things that we don't want to look at, the things that we ignore, are what end up biting us in the butt later.
Yep.
So that's one of our premises, that that which we don't pay attention to gets us later. So, for example, if I think that...
Pays attention to us, right.
Right, gets exactly, pays attention to us. So, for example, I might think that all I need to do is make up my mind to do something and then it's done. Well, except I have a body that has its own momentum of habit. I'm living with my partner or my spouse or whatever my living situation is. I'm surrounded by friends who may want me to not be different. What am I going to do about that? And then I live in a place where it's really going to be hard for me to take up my new intention to go running every day because I'm living in an apartment building in a crowded city. How's that all going to work? I have to address all of that. I can't just imagine I close my eyes and get really clear about what I want and that will do it. It takes more than that.
Sure does.
Yeah.
So your integral approach allows a person to go running even if they live in a city. I mean, tell me a little bit about like what is the secret of coaching from your perspective? What is the secret of coaching that evokes excellence?
What's the secret?
What is it? What is it? How do you do it?
Forum. Okay, that's
what is going on here?
What's that, Raf?
What's going on here? I mean, you have a pretty big promise, you know, evoking excellence in others.
Right.
And that's a very provocative title. We're used to seeing big promises on you know, be a millionaire in 30 days and all that on the titles of books as we walk through the airport.
Right.
But I know that you mean it. You're not just trying to get our attention. So,
right.
How is it that you can make a promise like that?
Yeah. Well, it has to do with having an understanding that people exist in all those four dimensions and attending to all four of those dimensions. It also has to do with how do people change. So we have a change theory, of course, of based upon our understanding of what a person is. So if we think of a person as a being that is always responding to the situation as it arises. In other words, we're walking around,
yeah,
not in reality, but we're walking around in an interpretation of reality.
Got it.
So, okay. For example,
I'm going to ask you to hold on to that thought because that's a big one. We're going to need to go to break.
All right.
And we'll be back with James Flaherty, Master Brilliant Coaching for Excellence Practitioner. And founder of this whole integral coaching field. So, James, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to ask you to follow up on how do we change? How does the world show up to us?
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love? For 45 years, the Hoffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Hoffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change, visit HoffmanInstitute.org. Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life? The Hoffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Hoffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to The Hoffman Connection.
To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio@hoffmaninstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
Good afternoon. This is Raz and Grossi with the Hoffman Connection. And we're speaking with James Flaherty, the founder of New Ventures West, which is a coach training school based in San Francisco. And for the past 25 years, he has designed and led coaching and leadership courses in North America and around the world. He has found a way to integrate. He's got a unique approach to coaching. He's integrated discoveries in linguistics, developmental psychology, 20th century philosophy, spirituality, biology. He's got this very practical and customized methodology known as integral coaching. And James, when we went to the break, you were just starting to speak about how problems show up for people, how people change, and that they're living in an interpretation of reality rather than reality itself.
Right, right.
Could you expand on that a little bit?
Right. I think the key to understanding someone, Raz, and the key to shifting our own self is understanding what's the interpretation that I'm in the middle of. Our human interpretation is, of course, really complicated, but some of the key features of it are, what am I committed to in the middle of my life? What is it that I'm dedicating myself to? What is one big element of it? Another big element of it is, what future do I have in mind for myself? So at any given moment, I'm taking the actions I'm doing, the conversations I'm engaged in, the way I'm allocating my resources to bring about a future that I have in mind for myself. For example, I might want to someday start my own business, or I someday might want to be a parent myself, or someday I might want to be an artist. So I'm building towards that all the time. It's in the background, the future possibilities I have in mind for myself. And then, meanwhile, I have my immediate concerns, what's pressing in on me right now. So my appointments that are coming up, and the date that I have with someone tonight, or the food I have to pick up to make dinner on the way home, all of that. So there's the immediate concerns, there's the future I have in mind, and then there's what I'm, the people and the causes that I'm committed to. So those are big parts of our interpretation that we're walking around with. And that's charged with an emotional state, our mood, which is, in the broadest terms, positive if I think things are going to go well, or negative if I think things are going to get worse and worse. So we use our big models that we talked about a little while ago, inside and outside the individual person, and also the bigger forces of the environment and society, as a way of understanding the individual interpretation of someone. How does it shape what they're committed to, the future they have in mind for themselves, their immediate concerns, and the emotional background, their mood?
So, James, is what you're doing here, in other words, someone comes to you and they, you know, everyone's got some presenting issue, apparently, you know, when they're
right.
coming to see a coach.
Right.
And so I would imagine then that you as a coach are looking to see how this presenting issue is connected to what they're committed to, the future they have in mind for themselves.
Right.
And what is your, how powerful is, I mean, where is the powerful entry in all that? I guess I'm looking to provoke an answer that tells me that it's more than an intellectual thing, that you might enter through the mood that the person's
exactly.
presenting, the emotional mood they're in, or do you enter through their body, or
we enter,
what do
right,
you do?
Exactly.
Sensorium?
So it's different for different people. So just lay out three general categories. So people, I think for the most part, are people who are living in the world of thinking and cognition and concept and ideas, are people who live in the world, this is a separate category, people who live in the world of emotions, and they're steering by how things feel and emotionally. And then there's people who are body people who are going by their instinct. And part of integral coaching is linking up those three parts of an individual's intelligence. So, for example, I'm a surprise. I'm a thinking person. Which means that in my own development, in my own unfoldment as a human being, I had to find the way to my heart. This is a big part of what the Hoffman process was about, is understanding that the heart and love and the connection that we feel to each other, the connection we feel to something beyond ourself, is a wonderful, powerful, and just, in fact, what's holding ideas and holding the cognitive. So what we do is we lay out a field of practice for an individual person. So the heart of our work is not intellectual. It is the practices that I engage in. So I start to shift my body. I start to shift my nervous system, because when I shift my body, shift my nervous system, the way that I'm interpreting life shows up differently. And suddenly I notice, oh my goodness, there are other people here when I'm driving. They're not just obstacles for me to get to the office. They are human beings, which is startling. Or in the Hoffman world, it's startling for some people to notice that, oh my goodness, my children are people. But not just
that's a really big big opening for people.
Yes.
Or parents.
Yes.
To recognize that in the Hoffman process, new parents especially might be struggling with raising their children, and suddenly they realize that, oh, they're people and I can really relate to them and I know exactly how to do it. And
that's right, exactly. So it shifts their interpretation, and as soon as our interpretation gets shifted, a whole new raft of possible actions, possible conversations, possible solutions arise.
It sounds to me like what happens is that I become less separate and more connected to people and events in my life, and that I also develop a deeper sense of myself, and as I develop that deeper sense of myself, I am naturally more connected to myself and to others. And then there must be some power that arises or that becomes available to me to make change.
Right.
Some sensitivity to take all this in and act on it and produce change. Can you talk a little bit about how people move into their own power that way?
Yes, I think that's right. So the integration is, that's right, it's integration of me, the world, me and my relationships, but there's also the integration within myself of my mind and my heart and my body.
Right.
And when those are all integrated, we get, how can I say this, Ras? We get about 10 times more intelligent when we start to not only think our way through problems, say, should I hire this person or not? Or should I go on a second date with this person or not? Or what should I do? My child has got a bad report card. What do I do?
Right.
So if I bring my whole self to that, my feeling into it with my heart, trusting my body's attunement to my child and my physical attunement to the situation, when I learned to trust all that, then I have way more options of what I could do, and at ease and grace in which I can do it. Because it's not too far along in this method where we start to discover that who I thought I was and who I really am are quite different. So this integration process of my inner intelligence centers of heart and mind and body and felt feelings and so on with the outer world leaves me with a much larger sense of who I really am. And I'm not just this collection of thoughts and reactions.
Right. And the possibilities that arise for taking action are remarkably more powerful and different than you might have ever imagined. They're new. They're not formulaic.
That's right.
You know, I was just the other day, I was on an airplane and I had a thought, and you know, the Hoffman model, we say there are four dimensions of a person, the intellect, emotions, spirit, and physical body. So our goal here is to produce an integral person as well.
Right, exactly.
And sometimes I think of those as four different intelligences.
Right.
And you mentioned that you started off, you know, you're a thinker, but so you had to gain access to your heart. You mentioned the heart a few different times, and I'm speaking of it now because I had this thought, and I started drawing these circles so that each circle kind of, the circles next to each other kind of overlapped, and then I drew circles below each of those that overlapped, and what emerged, the common ground all in the middle of it, was like a diamond shape. Mm-hmm. And then it just came to me that the heart is the place of the emotions, but also it's in the body, so it's of the body.
Right.
It's where the spirit comes through. And when we think through our heart, if you will, our intelligence goes way up. And so there's something about the heart which keeps arising as the common ground, the center point through which life flows.
I'm with you.
Am I just being kooky here, or what do you think?
Well, I don't think we should ever underestimate your ability to be kooky, because that's one of your great strengths. But I think that's right, that the heart is what the particular power of the heart, the particular intelligence of the heart is to integrate things.
Uh-huh.
The mind very easily dissects things and chops it into pieces and is terrific for analyzing. But how it all comes together is in the heart, as well as what you said is in all the traditions that I know of, Christian, Chinese, Indian. The heart, I'm studying Chinese medicine these days, and in Chinese medicine, the heart is the physical heart is the organ, as you said, where spirit comes into the physical form. It's our connection to the transcendent, the divine is in the heart. But the heart also has its own intelligence that lets it build rapport with other people. If we stand next to somebody on the subway, pretty soon our hearts are beating in the same rhythm.
Yeah, the interpenetration, if you will, of the emotional field is unavoidable and beyond our conscious control. You can't literally shut off your emotions, the emotional sensing that you're picking up from other people, and we don't anywhere learn much to pick up, to really pay attention to that. And
that's right. So that's a big part of the education that happens in integral coaching, Raz, is to be able to value that, appreciate that, trust it, and cultivate it so that I can be guided by all the parts of me, but especially the heart, because the heart gets left out so often.
And when you include the heart, there you are, this great thinking man, James Flaherty. But when you include your heart, you become smarter.
Yes, and more effective in the world, because I'm pissing off like 90% less people than I used to.
That's good. We're going to go to another break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with James Flaherty, who's got a unique approach to coaching, and his book is Coaching, Evoking Excellence in Others. I want to refer our listeners to his website, newventureswest.com, newventureswest.com, to learn more about James Flaherty and integral coaching. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life? The Hoffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Hoffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love?
For 45 years, the Hoffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Hoffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to The Hoffman Connection. To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio@HoffmanInstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
Well, this is Raz and Grossi, and we're here with the Hoffman Connection. Today we're speaking with James Flaherty, who has developed a unique and very powerful coaching methodology, and he teaches other people, a lot of people. James, how many people have New Ventures West certified to be coaches?
6,000 or 7,000 around the world.
6,000 or 7,000 around the world?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, James, you know, as I said earlier in the show, the title of your book is Coaching, Evoking Excellence in Others. And I know you don't shy away from the big questions. In fact, your approach to coaching is specifically designed to take on the biggest stuff. So I want to ask you, James, you know, the thing that's sort of on everyone's mind is what is my destiny? What has life been preparing me for? How do you approach the really big stuff with people?
Well, that's my favorite part, Raz, when a client shows up and says a question like that. So sometimes people show up with a question, it's much smaller than that, and it turns out to be this question in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that finding our destiny, I love that old-fashioned word, destiny. It's a word that we're not familiar with, and therefore we haven't messed up with its meaning very much. So we find our destiny mostly by tuning towards it. Most of us, we get so caught up in solving the everyday problems or trying to, quote, get secure by getting the right job or the right relationship or the right stack of money that we don't even ask ourselves that question very much. And if we do, we don't know where to look to get the answer. So our fate and our destiny are two different things, but they're so connected. So our destiny starts with the premise that we can hold lightly to see how it turns out, that our life is about something. It isn't just a random collection of DNA that happened to get thrown together on a planet that supports life, and we're going to live, maybe pass on our genes and then die, and that's the whole point. That we are part of something much larger than that, a kind of love and a kind of intelligence and a kind of caring that has brought us into existence so that something can happen. What could that be? So turning towards our destiny starts with the big wondering, what could it be? And then, Raz, it's looking at our fate. Our fate is, what are the circumstances of my life? And ask, so I was born in such and such a place, I had such and such a familiar background, such and such a education, such and such a work history, such and such strengths and weaknesses and proclivities and preferences and so on. What is that been preparing me for? What is it leading to? What is it coalescing towards? That's one way. What I also found, Raz, with however many hundreds of people where I've entered into this conversation with, people's destiny is really, really close. One of the ways my teacher talks about it, says that our destiny is closer than our breath. It's really close. And when
James,
yes.
I want to ask you, along those lines, I mean, A lot of times it feels like a person's destiny is being derailed. There's something's crashing around me. I'm crashing. My life's not working out. There's an illness. There's a breakup. There's a failure in some important way or some important area of my life or with some important. And so how do you include that rather than thinking this is destroying my destiny? How do you include it as part of your destiny?
It is. It is something, even the, this is a hard something for me to say, and I don't say it lightly, because you and I are both grown-up people, and we've had all kinds of terrible things we've seen in the world and all kinds of difficult things that have happened to people that we love, and we've lost people, and people have died, and you've been, and I've been in parts of the world where huge injustice is happening, and unfairness is happening, war is happening, and so on. Nonetheless, there's something that in an individual person's life, even the most difficult events, a death, a loss, a illness, a setback, a huge failure, that is, as it were, maturing our soul, if you can understand that kind of language, for something larger, something more difficult, something that requires more depth, more wisdom. Also what's happening, seems to me, in those kind of events is we're trusting more. And in other words, giving up the idea that I know what my life is, I know what it should be happening. Some of us are pretty stubborn, and it takes quite a lot of difficult events for us to let go of control of it and begin to trust something larger moving through us or moving as us. And the difficult circumstances, I think, are doing those two things, helping us to let go and trust. Eventually we can do that. And also strengthening us for facing difficult things or bringing something difficult to the world. Now, I don't think it's an accident that the current Dalai Lama in the world, who's so highly regarded, has gone through such horrible difficulties in his own life, and his culture has gone through horrible difficulties. And that is strengthened his voice, strengthened his resolve, strengthened his passion for justice and fairness and equity in the world. So difficulties, when we allow them, can strengthen us and build our determination.
And he actually wouldn't even be out in the greater world, except for all the horrors.
That's right.
Back in 1959, he'd still be in Lhasa.
He would be, and you and I would have to travel there if maybe we heard that there was such a person.
Right. But now he's out among us.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, as there's that old saying that hindsight is 20/20 vision, and so I'm sure that the Dalai Lama
right.
back in 1959 was like everyone else who was trying to get out of Tibet,
right.
You know, scrambling for his life through icy and treacherous passes. But yeah, I get the point, and that's, we need to take that seasoned look at our own life too, and be willing to embrace our destiny. And how it ties in with our fate, what are our circumstances preparing us for?
Right.
It's a really interesting approach. Hey, by the way, I heard there was a man named Stephen Wilson who called in earlier, and then we lost him. Stephen, if you're listening to the show, call again at 1-866-472-5788, 1-866-472-5788. And if you have a question for James, and I want to encourage anyone else who's listening and wants a question for James, also call in. Because James has answers for you. We all want the answer. So, James, tell us a little bit about, if you would, reflect on the times we live in, and what are some of the, you know, you've been doing this for at least a couple of decades.
Yeah.
What are you seeing now that is giving you hope? And what are you seeing now that is giving you caution?
Yeah, so I the hope that's happening is, of course, you are in the middle of it, and I'm in the middle of it in our work, and the hundreds of thousands of organizations, millions of organizations, tens of millions of people in the world who are dedicated to the well-being and the care of all the living systems on Earth. There's so many of us, and we're connected in ways that we never have been before, so that we can mutually support each other. So that's a piece of hope. It's also that I think people are catching on that our historic answers to things aren't working out. For example, the horrible collapse of the American financial system earlier in the century had us, who are paying attention, notice that what we thought was secure and real and countable was yet again another charade, another something that we couldn't fully rely on. So we had to find something else. So that there are people, I think, that are turning towards something more fundamental than societally accepted success and status as a way of making their way in the world.
Wonderful. So, yeah. Now, I just got to notice that Steve Wilson is with us. He
all right.
And he's calling in. So give Steve
a
chance
to talk to you. Steve Wilson, for persisting and calling us.
I am a recent graduate of the Hoffman Process in December during the rain.
Okay.
When I had the pleasure of riding with Raz to the hotel on the first night of the process.
Okay.
Right.
And I guess my question would be, what type of special challenges do you think leaders are going to be facing in, you know, the next 10, 20, 30 years?
Well, I would never go out 30 years. Can you imagine somebody being asked that question in 1980? And then, or 1990, whatever, 1980, and being able to try and predict what was happening now. So I think the main challenge with leaders is going to continue to be that the people that they're working with are going to be coming from many different backgrounds, from many different traditions, and yet there has to be a way for people to be known, understood, appreciated, brought forward into a team that can make a concerted effort to bring about what's intended. So for leaders, being able to expand their understanding, their ways of inclusion, including people who are quite different, is going to keep getting stretched. And I think there's going to be really no place to settle in terms of any stability, in terms of countable industries or countable, if we're talking about leaders in the organizational sense, or even in the political sense, there won't be stability of organization or finance that has been historically the case for the last 150 years or so.
Was there ever stability, or was that an illusion?
Well, I think there was. I think it was stability. You know, the Roman Empire. Depends on how we would define stability, but they were around for, 1,100 years. The British were around for in their empire for a couple hundred years.
So they had the illusion of stability. That was
the illusion of stability, which means a way of some people who are able to continue on their way of life without it being disturbed. I think there's going to be fewer and fewer of those. Maybe no one.
So and maybe less people. People are less interested in it.
People traveling and working all around the world.
Yeah, but also that you go to work, you go to buy a cup of coffee at your local place, and you find out the barista is from Pakistan, and the person who is bringing your cake over is from Brazil, and so we are getting more and more dispersed. And then
more and more connected. We're going to have to go to break for a minute here. Stephen, stay with us, and we'll be back. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love? For 45 years, the Hoffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Hoffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life? The Hoffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Hoffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to The Hoffman Connection. To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio@HoffmanInstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
Hello, this is Raz and Grossi with James Flaherty. And we're back on the Hoffman Connection talking with James Flaherty, who is the author of Coaching, Evoking Excellence in Others, and developer of his specialized coaching program called Integral Coaching. And James was talking just a minute ago about the qualities that leaders are going to need to develop for the future, and he spoke about flexibility, adaptability. James, I was listening in between the lines. I was hearing, wow, again, I have to use multiple intelligence. I have to use my emotion,
exactly right.
Intellect. I have to be willing to know what my body is telling me, pay attention.
That's right.
And call my spirit. And somehow, in the middle of all that and with more information, you know, oftentimes we say leaders don't have enough information to raise, but we're saying now, in a way, more information, but never enough to know everything.
Right.
What is the impulse to act? To take action. How do you know,
right,
people act on their own behalf and for the well-being of their families and their organization?
Right.
What is this? How to do it?
How to do it. Yeah. So when the body and the heart and the cognitive mind are unified.
Uh-huh.
One of our graduates and one of our former faculty members went on to start her own company, and she brought it to Genentech. This is a quick story, Ras, and
sure,
brought it to a part of Genentech, the IT organization, that was the worst part of the company in terms of customer satisfaction, internal customers, but also turnover. Nobody wanted to work there. And after 18 months of working there, through the surveys that are done of such things, show that this was the second or third most desirable place to work for in the country. And what she did in the company, Raz, was one of the practices they started was they had everybody check in with all, every time they'd have a meeting, they'd give each person 30 seconds or a minute or a minute and a half to check in with, so what's happening in your heart, what's happening in your mind, what's happening in your body. And all three of those kinds of intelligence are welcome at this meeting. This isn't just super smart people using their mind. And from that practice, and they developed their own little ritual around it and their own little symbols for the heart and the mind and the body that were put up everywhere around the organization, which meant your whole self is welcome here. You don't have to leave any part out. That's the heart of an integral approach. And suddenly, everyone wanted to work there.
You're taking that holistic approach, and like you said, they're unified, they're aligned. They're not arguing with one another. The action that flows from that, you can count on.
Yes. And it's sensitive enough to be able to be changed in the middle as it's necessary, because you can imagine in a complicated industry like designing drugs to fight cancer, how complicated that is, and all the regulatory processes that has to be traversed over different continents, and the finances that have to work, as well as the scientific rigor that has to be maintained in the production of the drugs and so on. All that takes multiple plans and projects that have to be coordinated with each other, but then corrected without the ego getting in the way. And that's what happens when we get integrated in our in these three different centers, but also as we get integrated across relationships. That so much of the heat and the friction of getting work done just passed away.
When you were responding to Stephen's question about leaders for the future, the answer here is that the effective leaders in the future are going to have to be comfortable with more forms of intelligence than just the intellect, and they're going to have to be able to find that, whatever you want to call it, that sweet spot, that place where it all comes together and where the conflict dissolves, in order to move effectively forward and lead others to move forward. So, is that a part of what you see in the future for people?
Yes, is that as we get integrated within ourselves and across people, some fundamental characteristics come forward, and the ones that maybe are most important for leaders are courage, passion for what's being done, and determination. That connected in with a good heart will pretty much resolve anything.
Well, as we like to point out in Hoffman, the word courage, you know, comes from the French word cœur, which means heart.
Yes.
So, which is, you know, living from your heart, really.
Yes.
And so being passionate, living from your heart, and you said determination.
Yes.
What?
Determination is a body thing.
Yeah.
You know, determination is the will of being able to stay with something. Uh-huh. Even in the face of difficulty or discouragement, or our body wanting to take us in a different direction. It's what keeps us practicing the piano, or keeps us writing our novel, or keeps us talking to our beloved when we feel like, okay, I've already said this 5,000 times.
I hope Stacy's not listening.
She's not listening, and she knows it doesn't apply to her anyway.
She's not listening. No. But listen, James, I have an announcement to make at the end here, which is, you know, more procedural than anything else. But I just want to ask you if there's anything that's come to your mind right now, or that's there for you to say that you'd like our Hoffman people to know.
The Hoffman process is such a beautiful contact with something that's deep and true and real that we can trust and that we can found our life on. And from that, we can take on a way of living, practices that we do every day that unfold that endlessly in ways that the world really needs.
Wow. That's a wonderful endorsement. I hope someone recorded that so we can write it down.
You're welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, James. Thank you so much.
It was wonderful to talk to you. Thanks for having me be a guest, and keep up your good work.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I also want to tell our listeners that it's not too late to get a special savings on the Hoffman process or our graduate courses. Our prices are going up as of January 31st. So go to our website for details. And that's www.hoffmaninstitute.org. And I also want to tell you that we have a free introductory program going on at the Hoffman Institute right now. If you want to go to that website and find out about it, that's happening right now. And questions are being answered, even as we go on there anonymously and listen and learn more about Hoffman. And next week, we have a terrific program which will feature three Hoffman teachers, And they're going to be talking about the Hoffman process, what it means, their experience of teaching it. And we call it Hoffman from the inside out. And so there'll be Hoffman teachers next week. And you, if you're a Hoffman graduate, you might want to call in next week and ask them one of your questions you've been saving up. Thank you so much, James. Thank you to our listeners and our Hoffman graduates. We look forward to being in touch with you again in a week.
Thank you again for being a part of the Hoffman Connection. Please join your hosts, Raz and Grossi and Ed McClune, again next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, make it an outstanding week.